call your attention again to 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to read verse 3, and then I'm going to jump to verse 9 and read 9 through 11. The Bible reads this morning, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took his sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpeh and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came on the Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto have the Lord helped us." Supporting scriptures coming from 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, a very familiar passage. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Also, Paul's writing to the Romans 8:31 and 32. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, "If ye do return unto the Lord with all of your hearts." The base of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning. There's no ifs when it comes to God. There's no ifs when it comes to God. Truly, we thank the Lord this morning for his presence. I can feel the presence of a mighty God in here this morning. And God is no stranger to us around here because he's always in our midst. And for that, I tell God, thank you. We don't have anything to boast about. We just try to be humble at his feet and realize that we are nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. And actually, we understand that we're still a work in progress. So there's still some things wrong with all of us. So you can start with me to head. There's some things wrong with me that I need God to help me fix. And I need God to help me work out. But I found out that this is a good place to come and replenish and to get a good idea of what God would have me to do. So it's a good thing to assemble yourselves together to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. And don't get it twisted. It's not by your goodness. It's not even by your will. You may have laid down last night with a mindset that I'm going to church in the morning, but there was no guarantee that you were going to get up this morning. So you still owe God some praise for allowing you another day's journey. It is only by his grace and his mercy, and he's allowed us an opportunity to worship him and praise him because he is a mighty God. And what I love about God is that he blesses us despite ourselves. A lot of times we're in the predicament where we're in because we dug our own hole. And once you dig the hole and you fall in the hole, then a lot of times we're looking out the hole looking for somebody else to retrieve us and to bring us out. But how many of you know that every now and then, even when you're in your own mess, you got to look up to the hills where your help comes from and cry out to the Lord, "Lord, help me get out of this mess." And the God that we serve, we hear your humble cry, and for some way, somehow, he always come to our rescue. Don't get it twisted. God loves you, and God made it possible for you to be here. And there's somebody that's not here because they left this morning on the morning train. somebody died last night. And even as I speak right now, somebody somewhere is losing their lives, going over to the other side. Between now and benediction, it is possible for every soul in here to just die. And there's nothing that you can do about it. A lot of these things we take for granted because we are used to life. We are used to living. We are used to getting up and we have our agenda set. We have our schedule for today and whatever it is that we have planned. I wonder, do we take time to say, if the Lord will, I'll do this or I'll do that, because you don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow. James says in the Word of God, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little while and then it vanisheth away. So we are here today, but we very well could be gone today. I find it and I count it joy to have my family, the Hurst clan, with us this morning. Hallelujah. From all parts of the South and even from parts of the North. And we're just thankful that God blessed us to be a family that is still yet trying to come together. I thank God. I thank God for the joy. I thank God for the spiritual journey. I thank God for allowing us to be able to be a part of a family that nurtured us and watched over us and kept us when we couldn't keep ourselves. When I think about the family, I can't help but think about a praying grandmother. A grandmother that can look at a little child and realize that I got so much love for you that I can talk to my master and I can have him to do some things. And I believe that there was a time that my grandmother looked at me and said, one day you're going to carry the word of God because I'm going to cover you in my prayers. That comes a time and we got to learn how to pray ye one for another. And I give honor to the saints of God. I give honor to our ancestors that set down a foundation. Set down a foundation that we cannot change. And I thank God for you, Brother Alfonso, for the wonderful job you've done on yesterday. Because as he talked about the family, it really made me realize and sort of just get back into my mind just how important it is to know who you are and where you come from. And then where you're trying to get to. And what I love about what he said was that the family was based on loving God. That is our first principle, is to love God and then love one another. And then I just love what you said when you said at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, those that are good, those that are bad, those that have been saved, those that are not saved, at the end of the day, we are still family. There's some of us that might think that you're better than somebody else, but no family member is no better than nobody else. Every family got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I don't care what your last name is. And somebody in the house of God know what it is to have a praying family, because somebody said when the family prays together, they'll stay together. But how many times do we take the time out to pray together? It's a good thing to be able to come together and there's not a tragedy or nobody is dead. Most of us, the only time we see one another is when somebody dies. Because if there's a tragedy, then everybody usually take care of their own. Unless you get close to death. Isn't it amazing how death draws you? Even the one that wasn't even speaking to you. If you're on your deathbed, they'll come there running trying to get there before you die, Charles. I got to make amends. I got to get it right before you leave here. But you ought to take the time to get it right now. Don't wait till I can't hardly hear what you got to say to come and tell me I'm sorry for calling you this, that, or the other. It is amazing how much God loves us. I believe he loves us just as much as he loved the Israelites, because we just like them. One minute we up and on fire for the Lord, the next minute you don't know whose side we on. God done blessed us over and over again, done delivered us out a whole lot of stuff, and we right back in some mess. I thank God this morning for that person or those persons that go through the heartache, the headaches, of keeping the family reunion going. It'll work two or three folk to death. And then everybody in the clan jump on board. But I thank God for the two or three that don't mind going through what you got to go through to keep the family together. Because somebody got to do it. As I sat there and looked at that family yesterday, at our family, I seen so many young people that I don't even know. And I made a comment. There's a lot of young people in here. And my aunt said, that lets you know that our family will go on through the young people. But understand this. It's important to have these reunions. It's important to come together. It's important for the elders of the family to share with the young people of the family, because you do know that out of all of these, a whole lot of your not last name is not Hurst anymore. So you don't know who you're going to meet when you go to Chicago or New York or California. You might run into somebody look mighty good to you, and it might just be your cousin. You cannot go by the last name. You got to get back and get where your roots come from so you can know at least some of your folks and some of the areas where they may have spread it out to. So when you get there, you ought to look them up. Enough about the family. Now let me move on. Today, those of us that are traveling, we are celebrating vacation time. Preparations for Independence Day, July the 4th. And let us be mindful that we must remember all the men and the women of the armed forces that fought and died to lay the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace, as well as those that serve today by day and protecting us and trying to hold and maintain what peace we do have. For we do realize that the world is in a turmoil, but we still thank God for those that are out there on the battlefield. So many times when we get ready to celebrate these holidays, we just look at the celebration and we forget the meaning behind the celebration. But I like to just take time to say, any armed force person, whether male or female, if you're under the sound of my voice, I personally want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your courage. I want to thank you for what you did for our country. And as we celebrate on Wednesday, let us celebrate somebody that has done something for us. A lot of them, we don't know their name, but a lot of people have died that we would have the freedom to be in this house of God, to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. A lot of people are still yet standing on the battlefield so that we can maintain going where we want to go and living the lives that we want to live. So let us be ever so careful to be mindful, to be thankful for those that are doing for us. How many of you know that we are still living in an unstable world? We're living in a time when things are just all messed up. A lot of people are so doubtful. We are walking by sight instead of by faith. What we see is what we believe. But there comes a time that we got to get back to the basics. We got to know that the Bible declares that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we got to believe in the things that we cannot see. We got to stop thinking and operating in the negative, trusting and believing that we serve a God that can do anything we need him to do. He's a merciful and a compassionate God. And all we got to do is just give God a try. All we do is we call on the name of the Lord God, we'll work it out, because I find him to be a miracle worker. You are one that would say that the Lord has done great things for me. Then if you're waiting on God to do something for you this morning, I want you to know that while you're waiting, hold your head up high. Don't walk around like you don't know whether or not it's going to happen. But you got to walk like a child of God that believes in the power of God. You got to walk like somebody that knows that there's if no ifs, ands, and buts about it. But when you talk about what God can do anything but fail. The Bible declares and tells us that men, there are some things that are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We got to understand when we look here in the Word of God that there's no ifs when it comes to God. You know, we got to understand that God loves us. And Paul says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, Paul wanted them to know that Jesus the Christ got to be the head. He got to be the one that is above all of the other brethren. Then the Bible declared, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Anybody know that they got anybody against you this morning? Anybody in here know what it is to have folk to go up against you? Close doors in your face. Tell you that you're not ever going to be anything. Tell you that you're not going to amount to anything. Tell you that you'll never get up off the stool of do nothing. But you got a mindset that I'm going to do what the Lord say I can do. For my time has been predestined by God. I love God with all of my heart. And I found through the word of God that good things have happened to those who love God. I believe that if you love God, you ought to know that God can do anything that needs to be done. But what happens is a lot of time we are just too proud. A lot of time we carry ourselves acting like we don't need nobody. But I want to let you know this morning that there comes a time you got to trust the power of God. There's nothing that God cannot do this morning. We have to go back to talking to the Lord our God. The Bible say pray without ceasing. See, every now and again, you got to learn how to talk to the Lord. Don't just talk to him when you need something in your hand. Don't just talk to him when you're laid back on the bed of affliction. But you got to learn how to talk to God when everything seems to be going all right. You got to learn how to talk to your God. I found out that there are a whole lot of folk that say, I don't know how to pray. But I stopped by to let you know this morning that if you want some changes in your life, if you want God to do some things in your life, you got to learn how to change your wicked ways. If you want God to pick you up from where you are right now, you got to ask God deep down on the inside and believe that the Lord will make a way out of no way. For the Bible declares, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I hear the land. See, we got to know that we are the people of God. We are called by the name of God. And every time you think about how good God has been, God wants somebody that don't mind calling him up. I heard somebody say that you can call God early in the morning, late in the midnight hour. You can call God when nobody else seems to be around. For the Bible said that if my people, you see, that is a conjunction. If is a conjunction that adds to the phrase of a sentence. If that begins to doubt. If you say if, then that means that you got a little bit of doubt and there's a little bit of wandering in your mind. You see, if you get a doubt in your mind, you cannot walk in complete faith. But you got to walk in the faith of a mighty God. If you don't know how to pray to God all by yourself, you better find somebody that got the hand in God's hand. That's why I come by to tell somebody this morning that there comes a time when you can't pray for yourself. You ought to know somebody that you can call on in the morning. You ought to know somebody that will stand in your stead. When I look at our text this morning, there came a time when the people of God was all messed up in their mind, serving all kinds of other gods. And there was a man by the name of Samuel. Now Samuel was a prophet that was raised by the priest Eli. And Samuel believed that one day we got to stop serving these idol gods. That's when Samuel began to come on the scene. You see, Samuel was a man of God that had been doing great things for the Lord. And everybody knew Samuel's reputation, that when Samuel said something, whatever he said, it came to pass by the Lord. You see, if you got your hand in God's hand, you ought to know somebody this morning that can get a prayer through. If you can't get a prayer through, there's something wrong down on the inside. But I thank God that these people of God realized that we can't make it all by ourselves. They began to realize that we've been serving the wrong kind of God. But oh, Brother Samuel said, I promise you, I'll pray for you. I'll talk to the Lord in your stead. When he looked around and began to talk to God, he realized that the Philistines were getting ready to overtake the Israelites. I want to let you know this morning that you might be small in number, but if you stand in the power of God, you are great in your power, because God can take a few folk and overthrow a whole lot of folk. Look at God at work. God heard the humble prayer of Samuel. Samuel began to say in the word of God, he took a lamb and took the whole lamb and offered it as a burnt offering unto the Lord. You see, Samuel was not a priest, but he had hung out with the priest, and he knew what to do when he needed something from the Lord. He knew in order to get something from God, he had to give something up. So he realized that they began to talk to God, and he began to talk to the people of God. Said, you better let go of all of the other, let go of all the other gods, but there's only one God that you got to serve. And they began to throw out the water. They began to pour water all over the land. In other words, they say, I repent of everything that I've done wrong. I'm sorry this morning for turning my back on my God. I'm sorry this morning for not realizing whose hand I belong to. And the Bible said that the children of Israel said unto Samuel, don't stop crying unto the Lord, because I hear the Philistines, they are coming up to get us, and they're coming in a mighty number. But I hear the Lord saying, don't worry about the Philistines, because I am the Lord thy God. There is no if when it comes to serving the Lord our God. You see, the Bible declares that if the people would repent of their ways, that the Lord would deliver them. That was the condition that had to be done. But I see right now, before they even got the battle won, the victory was already there. For the Lord our God said, I got your back. For the Bible said, when they got close in the midst, that the thunder began to roar, and the thunder roared so loud that they got discomforted within themselves. In other words, they got afraid. They got scared out of their wits. I never heard a thunder like this before. It's thundering so loud that the ground is shaking. The ground is shaking, and it got me all messed up. I forgot what I come out here for. I forgot who I'm looking for. Because God done changed my mind. And the Lord God touched the hearts of the Israelites. Say, it's time to come out in battle. Because I got your enemy confused now. I got your enemy all messed up. You can overtake them right now. So I stop by to tell somebody that there's no ifs when it comes to serving your God. If the people that hear my voice, if the Lord would be on my side, if I had $100 or two, if I did this or if I did that, don't worry about the ifs this morning. But you better learn how to say, I will serve the Lord my God. I will lift up his holy name. I will tell the Lord I'm sorry. I will praise him from on high. David said, the praise of the Lord shall continually be in my mouth, and I will declare his goodness upon the mountaintop. I will praise him in the morning. I will praise him down in the valley. I will praise him in the midst of the congregation. Anybody in here this morning know the power of a mighty God? There's no ifs when it comes to serving God. See, when God looked down on us and realized that there was nobody to save our sin sick soul, he could have kept his son in heaven. But he said, I love him so much that I let my only begotten son go down and die on Calvary's hill, be buried on the third day, get up out the grave with all power in his hand. And if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ that died and got up on the third day, the Bible declares that you shall be saved. But the conjunction is that iffy word. Don't be doubtful, but know that you want to be where Jesus is. Know that you're going to believe what the Lord can do. You see, the Israelites had gone through so much, but they was easy prey. It seemed like every time something comes along that looked better, they jump over the fence. But there's come a time that you got to hold your ground. If it look like you're sinking and about to lose everything, before you jump the fence, you look up and cry to your God. And just wait on him. And I guarantee you, how many of you know that if you call on him and you believe that he hear your cry, how many of you know that he'll come to your rescue? How many of you know how to get rid of the ills in your life and know that you serve a can-do God? He's not an after-while God, but he's a right-now God. Anybody need a right-now blessing? The Bible declared that we got to praise him. For I heard that when the praises go up, the blessings will come down. So when you are so cute that you can't praise him, then beg for your blessing. But if you praise him, all you got to do is ask him. And it's yours. It's done. Just because you asked and because you believe, it's done. Anybody asking God for anything this morning? Anybody got anything that they laid on the altar? Have God did anything that you asked him to do last week? How many of you praise him for what he's already done? Because if the Lord never does anything else, he's already done enough. Oh, glory. If the Lord never, ever. If God never let me preach another message, he's already let me preach enough. There's no ifs when it comes to God. If you are truly believer of the power and the grace and the mercies of God, and you sit in here this morning, and you know that you need a closer walk with your God. Not with your cousin, not with your auntie, not with grandpa or grandma, but I need to walk with God. Mama died, daddy died, grandma died, granddaddy died, but God is still living. And he told me I'll walk with you, I'll keep you in my loving arms. Why do we sit down on God? When you consider all of the sickness in the land, if you got a reasonable portion of health and strength, God Almighty, if you can see my hands, you ought to be glorifying God. Because there's somebody that can't see this morning. Foul Chapel, you remember? Just months ago, walking with a cane, every day full of pain. But God is healing my body. Now I can jump. Might not be like I used to be, but I'm on my way because I'm trusting God. No doctor healed me. It was Dr. Jesus. You don't need insurance for Jesus. You don't need money for Jesus. All you need. All you need is a sincere, humble desire. You might not be sick, and that's a blessing. Maybe you just strayed away. And your closeness with God is not what it used to be. I'm here to let you know this morning that God understands. He knows why and how you sort of got out of whack. But he loves you so much. He says as long as there's a breath in your body, you got another chance to get it right. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to be finished because I'm feeling good this morning. You don't have to turn a somersault, foam at the mouth, speak in tongues, or none of that to get salvation. There's some things that are gifts that are possible, but it's not a necessity or requisite for salvation. All you need for salvation is to open up your mouth and believe in your heart. Not what mama and them said. Time to get off mama's apron strings. Stand up and be a man or woman on your own. Because when you stand before God, nobody's going to be there with you. I'm finished, but somebody in here this morning want to get out of that zone. Just walk out of it. All you got to do is just trust God. As I was making preparations for this morning, I could see my grandmother's face. And all I could see was love. I can't remember anything else. I remember how they say that she knocked them boys upside the head. But I didn't see that. All I ever seen was love. All I ever seen was love. If I didn't know nobody else in the family, I knew my grandmother loved me. She looked at all of us out of eyes of love and strength. I can remember how proud I am to be a king. But you know, I found out, like Alfonso said yesterday, it don't matter how you get here. If God wants you here, he allows you to come.